Hey, it's the Great Debates. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
We're here again.
Thursday morning. Are you driving to work?
What are you doing right now?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Are you lying in bed, listening?
Where are you?
I wonder.
Do you guys want to talk about golf today?
Yeah, finally.
And why? Why do we want to talk
about golf? Because it's the Masters. We're trying to get more topical here in the Great Debates.
And it's working.
I hope.
Well, we're doing it. I don't know if it's working.
Let's go.
You got a micro for us?
I do. Yeah. I really do. Healy taking the pro.
Mini golf, you might call it.
It's great.
Yeah. That's great. Mini golf.
Today's micro is called mini golf.
Yeah.
With Healy taking the pro. The topic is Arnold Palmer will be better remembered for his drink than for his golf game.
Look, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Of course he'll be better remembered for his drink than for his golf game. Most people don't know or care about the names of professional golfers of the present, let alone the great names of the past. This guy, year after year, slips more and more into obscurity. But meanwhile, everyone who's interested in the idea of combining lemonade with iced tea, which is basically everyone who's been outside in the summertime, or any child, has had it told to them the name Arnold Palmer. That name will endure, and it'll be like party trivia to say, actually, the name came from a famous golfer, but nobody will really remember. The name Arnold Palmer as a golf name will be long gone, known only to golf weirdos, but to everyone in the world, it'll be the name for lemonade and iced tea.
There's an interesting thing happening in the Arnold Palmer market, which you're not aware of right now, and that is that Arnold Palmer is branding his own drink. He is putting his name and his face on a specific brand. I forget which one it is. It might be Snapple or Arizona iced tea. I forget. But what I see happening in the future is a lawsuit wherein that brand becomes the only brand known as the Arnold Palmer. And I think we're at a point, let me just wrap this up. I think we're at a point in the history of the Arnold Palmer where it could either become the exclusive name that we call that drink, or it becomes an obscure version of which only one brand of it, most people call it a half and half. That's a name that's on Nantucket Nectars, for example, calls it the half and half.
That's a mistake by Nantucket Nectars. First of all,
but
I think
it may not be a mistake. Almost, it may be a copyright issue. I think
almost all Arnold Palmers are served in private homes or in restaurants by waiters and waitresses. Most of it is not bought, bottled, and pre-made.
Oh, I totally disagree.
No.
I don't think that the amount of, if you look at the supermarket aisle, that, I mean, there's an, that's the economy of America. That's mothers and fathers going to purchase drinks for the week. That's where, but the
how much bottled lemonade did you drink your Arnold Palmer's growing up?
Well,
bottled
it's funny you
or homemade?
Because the point that you made earlier was that children drink Arnold Palmer's, and I totally disagree because there's caffeine in tea, and most people don't let their children drink coffee or tea.
Not in the leafy confines of Needham, Mass. Also, but down south, sure they do.
I didn't drink Arnold Palmer's growing up. Also, if I did, they were homemade because they weren't available. There wasn't a consumer version of them available.
Okay, so
now there is, and only one of them is actually called Arnold Palmer.
Your so-called evidence.
Let's also just get out there. Arnold Palmer is probably the third most famous golfer of all time. And he's not dead yet. When he does, another generation of people will come to understand how great he was.
No, he will
this
pass into
so
obscurity as Sam Snead has, as Ben Hogan has.
Arnie's Army.
Hey, how many people do you think know the name Bobby Jones? Like, that aren't golf fans. Maybe some people could identify that as the name of a golfer, but basically this guy's passed into obscurity. And this is a guy who died in like the 60s, who was the greatest golfer of a 50-year generation.
There's a great chance that in the 1920s or the 1930s, there was a cocktail called the Bobby Jones that nobody even refers to it.
Good debate. Hot debate. Medina, what did you think?
Hot bait.
What? So, Dave, your argument was that because Arnold Palmer's introducing a new line of drinks, we'll remember him for those, but not for the...
I didn't even have the time to get to that, but that was strengthening my argument.
Look, what I'm
saying there'll be a branding fight that makes it more Arnold Palmer is in the news
as a
drink.
What I'm arguing is that there's a possible branding fight which will lead to only one only one brand being able to refer to it as the Arnold Palmer, and then
no one will drink it.
The dominant term will be either half and half or iced tea and lemonade.
I think, by the way,
there's no way that, I'm sorry, Healy, there's no way that you're not right. Of course, people, like 100 years from now, it's going to be the beverage and not the golf.
I think the branding might be a mistake for Arnold Palmer, the man, because I think that for a small amount of money at the end of his life, he's going to brand it. But if he just let it go, let the world have it, it would be on all kinds of bottles of stuff, and the name would spread widely.
You can't take it with you, man.
Yeah, well, just let the world have that.
But you can leave it behind.
That should be your gift.
What if it's like a Paul Newman thing, though, where he's using the proceeds? I don't know.
Okay, should he allow Paul Newman, for instance, to use, or the Newman whatever brands?
I don't know. I mean, I would also say that it is the man's name, and he has a certain right to do with it what he wants.
Well,
that's true, but it's like what's cool and what's not. It's cooler to give it away.
We all try to advise each other on what is best to do.
Yeah, you know, what's best? In crucial what is best in life?
Moment,
Dave.
What's what?
What is best in life?
I would say an Arnold Palmer out on the deck with a lounge chair involved is one of the best things.
Hard to beat with a couple of buds.
We are in host chat. Yes, Dave.
You know, I used to work with a man who was trying very hard to get a drink named after him.
Okay.
And I found it, for the most part, an embarrassing enterprise.
Name and drink.
What steps did he take?
Yeah.
He basically, I forget what the drink was.
Well, right there.
That's a big issue.
He's blown
but
it.
His last name was Gatt, G-A-T-T, which is also not a name that rolls off the tongue. And so his thing was that everywhere he went, he would order the Gat, and they would go, I'm afraid I don't know what that is. And he would say, oh, okay, well, the Gat is this. He's like, it's a little-known drink, but it's getting more popular. And the idea was that he would visit enough bars and restaurants over his lifetime to try to popularize the Gat.
The important thing, though, here is, what is it? Like, an Arnold Palmer is a great idea.
No, you're right. You're right. And I don't remember, and that's a good sign that it was.
Yeah.
Give me a Gat.
Flop.
Give me a Gat.
Okay, two bits of business, and then we can have some fun in host chat.
What are they?
First,
I hate business.
I know, I do too, but sometimes you have to do business. So I'll do my part first, which is going to be the more boring part.
All right, go.
New York City live show, May 22nd. Tickets are selling fast. It's Sunday, May 22nd at the Slipper Room. Buy your tickets. Get them fast. We'd love to see
you. In what way is that boring? I think that's very exciting.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, this will be a
work is boring.
Live event. We're going to have a lot of fun.
It's going to be great. We have a special guest lined up.
Yeah, we do.
When we announce the special guest, the show will sell out.
Yeah, I think so.
So buy before we announce so that you have a chance to see the show and the special guest. I have a little bit of business. Okay,
take
care
of it.
For our listeners out there, in some future episode, we're not quite sure when, the guys have both acquired blood pressure monitors.
Cuffs, you might call them.
And so we're going to do a little parlor trick game thing wherein we monitor the blood pressure of the debaters as they're debating. And so what we'd like to do is to have listeners submit topics that you think will get the blood boiling.
That's the hashtag, yes. Hashtag blood boiling.
Blood boil.
So go tweet us at GreatDebate69, hashtag blood boiling.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, wait, is it blood boil or blood boiling?
I want to say blood boil to give people more space.
Mm-hmm. Great
blood
idea.
Boil. Hashtag blood boil. Blood
that's
boil.
What it's called, blood boil 2K16.
Blood boil 2K16.
And the we'll blood see boil. What people say. Yeah, so go ahead, Regina.
Is it wait, is it hashtag blood boil 2K16?
No, hashtag blood boil.
Hashtag blood boil. The event itself will be referred to as maybe
as blood boil 2K16.
We'll find something.
I think
better.
That'll stick for me. So if you get it here, just you're looking for tops that are going to make the guys blood boil as they debate, and we're going to try to get the blood pressure up as high as we can go. So. Yeah, now we're into the...
Deans, will you do a blood, and we'll see if even the moderator's blood pressure
my
rises?
My blood pressure's just going to stay so even and low whole time. But
the hotter
I'll
the debate, the more even it stays.
What are the arenas of topics that you think, just to give our listeners a little bit of help here?
Okay, for Dave, what's going to set you off? Yeah. Religion.
Yeah, religion.
Anything about circumcision, Judaism, baseball.
Magicians.
Yeah. Magicians.
Also, I would say like being on the far left, but not far left enough. In that political area. Small differences on the...
What do you think is going to get my blood boiling?
I don't know. Dorothy Parker or some
shit.
Come on. I don't know. You're very hard to rile up. I say that as a compliment.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. Last time I got really excited. Maybe, I don't know. When you brought up the Nazis, like that kind of
stuff.
Well,
that's interesting because it's actually sometimes...
Hot, really hot debates... Oh, also, if I'm getting in like tricky waters where I'm afraid of saying something offensive.
Well, you are a real sort of protector of the integrity of the debate itself. And so I think that there might
be violating the debate integrity.
I think maybe topics about rhetoric that's allowed within the debate.
Yeah,
gets a little meta, but I think there could be something
Sure,
there.
Sure. Yeah. That's good.
Interesting. Interesting. Hashtag blood boil.
And I have a feeling our listeners who know the personalities at play here, they know what to submit under hashtag blood boil. Okay, guys. So anyway, in a future, we'll give it a couple of weeks and we'll see how it goes.
And we're going to raise money for blood pressure health.
Great idea.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
The loser of the debate has to donate, I don't know, $250 to a blood pressure charity.
Super.
Okay. Your blood is already boiling.
Yeah. You're getting me going.
Stupid. Hey, we got the Masters Golf Tournament from Augusta National this week.
What a great tournament.
Starting today, right? Thursday.
Yeah.
Dave, would you like to play some Masters trivia?
I will, but I'm a little scared here because I consider myself a golf fan, but I don't really know that much trivia.
Well, I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
I think these are all gettable questions.
Let's not waste too much time. Let's get into this.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
First question.
Yeah.
Vijay Singh of Fiji
won
the 2000 Masters.
Yeah.
On the final day, April 9th, 2000, he shot the same score as Lauren Roberts, Tiger Woods, Tom Lehman, Carlos Franco, Hal Sutton. This final score on the final round was enough for him to hold on for the win. What was the score? What did he shoot on the final round at Augusta, April 9th, 2000?
Okay, I think I know where this is headed.
Okay, let's see.
I'm going to guess 69.
That is correct. Okay.
Great guess.
Yes.
Great guess.
Hold that out of the air.
Ooh, nice. All right.
Okay.
Dave,
next one. Yeah.
Augusta National Golf Course was formerly a plant nursery.
I didn't know that.
Each hole is named after the tree or shrub.
That's right. I did
with
know
which
that.
It had become most associated.
That's right.
Can you tell me which number holes are associated with these two plants?
Okay.
The juniper and the Carolina cherry.
The juniper, and what was the second one?
Carolina cherry.
Okay, so I'm picturing my rough knowledge of the course. It's definitely not on the back nine, either of those.
Correct.
Probably in the front nine, right?
Yeah. So what was the second one again?
Juniper. These are the two holes. I want your number. I want the numbers. Juniper, Carolina cherry.
Well, the Carolina cherry is right before the turn. So my guess is that's the ninth hole. That's a guess. It's either the eighth or the ninth. I'll say the ninth. And the juniper is two or three holes before that, if I recall. So I'll say 6 and 9.
Juniper is 6. Carolina cherry is 9.
Nice. Very nice, Dave. Yes.
Wow.
I've got one more for you.
Okay. Ready? Let's see if I can get this.
American golfer George Archer only won one major his entire career. It was the Masters at Augusta National. What year did he win?
So that is tough.
Yeah.
I'm picturing the winners. By the way, pretty good that I've gotten 2 out of 3 so far.
Yeah, not bad. Okay. Not bad.
And can everyone, Medina, can you attest to the fact that I didn't see these
questions? Not cheating. No. Didn't see them in advance.
Not cheating. Healy kept it hidden.
Archer was a rookie. He came up sometime in like the mid 60s is my recollection. And once the 70s hit, that was like Trevino, Nicklaus, forget about it. You couldn't get your name in edgewise. This is a stab in the dark, but my guess is 1969.
That's correct. You won the 1969.
Yes!
Three for three. Great.
That's amazing.
Hey, do you want one more? Just a sort of bonus fun one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. 1997, Masters. Tiger Woods is running away with it.
Yeah.
And famously, Fuzzy Zeller. Fuzzy Zeller makes a remark about how he shouldn't serve. The guy better not serve fried chicken. Because a very strange joke to make.
Very strange.
But the previous year's champion hosts the dinner on the Tuesday before the event. What did Tiger serve?
Fried
chicken. In 1998 at the dinner.
Fried chicken.
He served cheeseburgers,
chicken
sandwiches, French fries, and milkshakes.
That's great.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Right?
By the way, Fuzzy Zeller, that incident led to one of my most favorite bits of, I don't know if you'd call it casting or characters in late 90s rap videos, which you may remember in the Mo Money Mo Problems video. Puff Daddy is trying to win a golf tournament against an evil villain who is referred to as Fuzzy Badfeet, played by sort of a Fuzzy Zeller lookalike.
Interesting.
Really trying to capture that one moment in history.
That's strange.
Yeah. It's the announcer, Mace, his fellow rapper, Mace, of course, who calls him Fussy Bad.
Right. Okay, well, let's move good host chat.
Should we hit the great debate?
Yeah, let's have a debate. Let's have the great debate.
I've got a topic, an on-theme, topical topic.
Great.
Yeah!
Are you guys ready?
Yep.
Here it is. Healy taking the pro. The Masters is truly a tradition unlike any other.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. We're talking, of course, about the phrase Jim Nance uses to describe the Masters when he broadcasts.
A tradition unlike any other.
Augusta National's tried to, I don't know, what, patent it or trademark it or something. Some bullshit. The Green Jacket. Amen Corner. Magnolia Row or Street or whatever it is they call when you drive up. The dinner beforehand, the beginning of spring in the South, in Georgia, the 1960 battle, Ben Hogan, Bobby Jones. I mean, this guy was one of the founders of Augusta National. Clifford Roberts holding the organization together with his own two hands. An Alistair McKenzie course. The guy was an expert in camouflage who'd served in World War II. And here he is designing Augusta National. Now, I don't want a bunch of letters about how it's not really an Alistair McKenzie course. I know about how he died and Clifford Roberts kind of did his own thing.
We're too worried about getting those letters. Just move your argument forward.
But look, the Masters is one of the four majors in golf. It's very special. It has a lot of tradition and ceremony associated with it. And it's truly a tradition like any other. It's different from the other golf majors. It's different from any other tournament or competition in the world. It has a special magic to it. And it's a tradition unlike any other.
Everything you've mentioned, you know, all of the details have a close analog in other events.
For example, what's the Green Jacket analog?
The jug of milk in the Indy 500. There's no other sport where you where a unusual trophy is associated.
No, but
as
having a jacket put onto you by the previous year's champion, the jacket of the club members. It's an unusual jacket. You know why they have that jacket? The members wear a green jacket because Clifford Roberts wanted spectators to be able to identify people who are knowledgeable, who could point them around. You're like joining the special fraternity of clothes. There's no other. I wish there was another sporting event where you got some cool clothes.
Well, as a matter of fact, in almost every championship in America, you get a piece of jewelry, which could count as clothing.
But that's so corny and lame. That's unlike any. It's unlike the Masters tradition.
It's different than slightly, but if your green jacket is the only thing that separates it, again, I would say that there are, again, I point to
it's
the jug
symbol.
Of milk.
It's a symbol of the difference.
So many tournaments or championships have symbols like that. I mean, also, how about Kentucky Derby gets a beautiful, necklace of roses. That doesn't happen at any other championship.
Okay, all I have to do for each example you bring up is show how it's unlike the Kentucky Derby is unlike the Masters.
Flowers are unlike a green jacket.
Kentucky Derby is unlike the Masters because one is a golf tournament and one is a horse race. Unlike any other. Keep going.
Well, if you're going to split hairs that
this debate is going to come down. This debate is going to come down to the scale. Are we going to look? Is it unlike any other in that it's a human? They're both human events. Okay, yeah, they're like in that way. Is it unlike any other in that it's very distinct and unique and special? Yes, okay, the Masters is unlike any other.
The point I'm trying to make is that broaden, your distinction of specialness is you have to go. So, your scale is so small now. You can't say the you're not. You can't say. The Masters winner receives a trophy that is unique because that's not true.
It's not a trophy.
That would be a large. Yes, it is.
It's a jacket.
Or whatever, a vestment. Call it whatever you want. All you could say is that they receive a green jacket. Well, okay, that's fine, but it's up to the listener then to decide whether that scale of distinctness, of difference, is enough. As you pointed out, let me just make some other points so we can stipulate. Mm-hmm. As you pointed out, it's one of four majors. The tournament itself is basically equal in importance to the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship,
and the
Open Championship, which, by the way, has far more history. That's the British Open for you lay folk, is referred to as the Open Championship.
Okay, British Open is
far more history than the Masters.
British Open has a lot of cool history, but isn't it always at a different course every year?
Yes, it is.
And PGA Championship, same deal. This is the only one that's at the same course, right?
Well, no, it's the only major that's
okay, so it's the only...
You can
compare yourself to Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, everybody, Bobby Jones, everybody who ever played.
The Open
Greg
Championship
Norman.
typically revolves only through four or five courses. And if your goal is to compare yourself to the greats of all time, as long as you have a decent career, you will end up playing at the great courses of the British Isles. You'll play at St. Andrews. It's there, I believe, every, it seems like, 4 or 5 years. You'll end up playing at...
But you don't have 50-some years of unbroken history in comparison, which is, you've brought up in previous debates about golf, the specialness of golf, and that you can compare
to
other people.
There are plenty of events. There are plenty of championships which take place at the same locale every year. Mm-hmm. Again, the Indy 500. Again... Kentucky Derby, and all of the tennis majors take place at the same locale every year. So what's the difference between the Masters and the U.S. Open, which takes place at Flushing Meadows every year?
Who thinks Flushing Meadows is as special as Augusta National?
Roland Garros. I mean, you want to tell the people of Paris that stade isn't as hallowed?
I think the people of Paris would absolutely agree that the French Open is also a tradition unlike any other. The French Open and the Masters are incomparable as traditions. They're comparable in the sense of both being epic sporting traditions, but they are unlike each other.
The French Open is as special as the Masters. The French Open is just a tournament on clay. Yes, so what?
Having wine.
Now they play three tournaments just on clay just to warm up to the French Open in Europe. It's not special anymore. Just as the players who are competing in the Masters tend to compete in the weeks before on golf courses that are similar to Augusta National.
I think any of those golfers would tell you there's nothing as special as playing at Augusta.
You're losing this debate so poorly that I think there's only one thing to do.
There's
only one thing to do. I got to show you... Medina, is this okay with you?
Okay. So I think if I'm reading this right, you guys want to switch sides.
I gotta switch sides because you're missing out on the most important thing.
I'm willing to switch sides because I feel like this has been quite lopsided.
Oh my god!
I have to say I feel a little bit bad because we do have no preparation as a rule, and I did educate myself about that.
I educated
myself at the Masters for the
Didn't help you at all, but I'm glad listeners. That there was a little backstory there.
Okay, let's do a switch. I'm prepared to switch. Yeah.
Okay, boom, sound effect, switcheroo.
Wait, you can't just call it. We have a moderator, man.
Medina? Sorry.
I was also going to ask for a 30-second statement from each of you on the last debate, but...
Medina, take control here.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, then I can decide who did what. So give me 30 seconds, Healy, on your... taking the pro on this.
Okay. Wait, we haven't finished the last debate. We just took a little bit of a deep closing statement. Yeah. Look, there are a lot of special sports tournaments, but there's nothing like the Masters in terms of its climate, in terms of its history, in terms of its traditions, in terms of the food associated with it, in terms of the geography, in terms of the smell, in terms of the time of year, in terms of what it means to the viewers when it happens. There is nothing like the Masters. It is a tradition unlike any other.
Davis.
All of those specifics there are plenty of tournaments, even when you go as narrow as the beverages that's associated with. Again, the Kentucky Derby has the mint julep associated with it. Is it a different beverage? Yes, but you can't say the Masters is the only tournament that has a beverage associated with it. I mean, that's absurd. In addition, as you've said, it's one of four majors. It is not unique. Yes, it happens a certain time of year. So too does actually almost every other major sporting event. I'm hard-pressed to think of a sporting event that takes place at different times of year, that isn't closely tied to a climate or a season. It's, you know, there's a reason the World Series is called the Fall Classic. It's because it happens in the fall every year. So there's nothing that special about the Masters.
You know what Jim Nance would say to you? You just don't get it.
Oh God,
don't get it.
Let's try it now. Let's switch sides.
Great.
Yeah. I'm ready. Healy.
Okay, you're taking the pro.
Yes. The Masters is truly a tradition unlike any other.
Go. The Masters is truly a tradition unlike any other. Why? Why, Healy? Because of the dark side. Because of the sinful. embarrassing, horrible traditions that one must deal with when it walks through the clubhouse, when it marches down the 18th fairway. The embarrassment, the horrible racial attitudes, even up till a few years ago, the reluctance of the staff and the board to admit women. I mean, how shameful is this? And so what an interesting event, unlike any other, where we have to celebrate the history of it. All of the greats have played there and won. And yes, there are these, you know, there's funny outfits and stuff like that. But at the same time, it challenges us in a way that no other sporting event does. That's why the Masters is a tradition unlike any other.
The Masters is a fucking tournament. It's a sports thing. Yeah, they got a couple frills and bells and whistles, but it's not any different from any other one. Okay, first of all, let's just address Dave's argument, starting with the darkness. From where I'm looking, the Masters is actually a monumental example of slow and gradual, true, and perhaps it could have been quicker, but the progress that we've seen at Augusta National is heartwarming. I mean, here's this tournament that you, a black person couldn't even play at this in 1980, and a black guy wins it in 1997. A woman couldn't be a member in 1980, and now the first black woman Secretary of State is a member of the club. Healy, in terms of darkness...
Let me stop you right there.
Okay, yeah.
Describe to me one other sporting event where you can experience that heartwarmingness about progress. You're making my argument for me. Yes, there's darkness as there is light, as there is progress.
Okay, look, you're right. Yeah, the World Series. One of the World Series.
Thank you. That's how you win an argument, dude.
It's just like every
that's
other.
That's why we needed to switch. Go ahead.
The World Series, now, that's a dark event. I mean, a guy stole, like, the gangsters stole the original, one of the first
one
ever
time,
World
yeah.
Series.
One
black
time.
People couldn't play it until, what, 19, well, who's the first black guy to play in the World Series?
I believe it was Jackie Robinson. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was in the like in our father's lifetime. Very recent news.
That
is
shame.
Do you talk about dark? You talk about darkness.
Tied to one event, the way the Masters.
You talk about darkness. The Kentucky Derby is still people whipping and beating horses. They had to put down a horse a couple years ago, broke his leg in the Kentucky Derby. That's ridiculous. If you love darkness mixed in with your tournaments, go with the Kentucky Derby. Look, what we're seeing here is that for every kind of tournament and for every distinction about the Masters, we can find comparisons. Like every other sports tournament, it has traditions and history and bullshit associated with it. You get a funny jacket, eat a certain kind of sandwich. That happens at the friggin' like Needham Wellesley game. Every kind of sporting event has tradition, history, food, clothes, nonsense.
I'm not talking about the food.
Only guys like Jim Nantz, who are so up their own butt and trying to preserve their job, come up with bullshit like it's a tradition like any other. They're desperately trying to get you to watch this game for rich people that only old white guys
about,
like, so they can sell
the
more
viewers.
Boner medicine.
I'm not talking
that's
about
what the Masters
at home
is.
Watching the people watching home television. I'm talking about the people who actually attend the event. You know... Excuse me, the places where the racial barriers were broke down in baseball.
You want to tell me that attending
you want to tell me that attending there.
You think attending the Masters is that different from attending another friggin' golf tournament? They're
yes,
all the
absolutely.
Same. You're walking around, you're clapping for the same 25 guys.
Healy,
you're drinking a couple beers, you're with your friends.
I attended the Ryder Cup when it was in Brookline, Massachusetts.
Okay, good for you.
And you didn't have to deal with the big questions. Hey, why are the only black people here the caddies? You didn't have to ask yourself, shouldn't women be allowed to play at this event too? You weren't able to, as you beautifully pointed out, take stock of the progress that has happened within one institution and locale. That's what makes the Masters. That's what makes Augusta National unique.
I doubt the history of the Brookline Country Club or wherever they have the Ryder Cup was blameless.
It's
I'm
the
sure they
club.
Have a very sordid
well,
racial and
so,
gender history.
It's so sordid.
You think
you're looking
at a golf event in Boston as your example of like, I'm sure this is great racial progress.
Go ahead. Tell us about, since it's so obvious and non-distinctive, why don't you tell us about all of the racial problems that they've had at the country club over the years?
Well, I don't know. Why don't you tell me about I don't know enough about the racial history of the Ryder Cup, but I have a feeling it's not looking super sunny for black people around 1960, the same as it didn't at the Masters.
Okay, but
right?
The Ryder Cup,
they're both
again,
sporting events with some bullshit tradition.
Notice again how you turn to the Ryder Cup, the event, and not the locale. The Ryder Cup,
okay, that's great.
Every 2 years.
This would be great. Do you want to say that Augusta National is a place unlike any other? Because that's not what we're debating.
No,
I'd love to talk about that.
But
the Masters is an event
unlike
a tradition unlike any other.
The fact that it's the Masters and not Augusta National works only to my favor to make it unlike any other because a part of the Masters is the locale, Augusta National. On top of that is the format of the event. By the way, one thing you didn't mention is that the Masters has a playoff format, unlike any of the other three,
who cares? It's a freaking golf tournament.
It's
a golf tournament. It's like every other golf tournament.
It's very different than most golf
tournaments. It's got slight differences in the rules and a couple bells and whistles.
You know, if you take, if you give me one frame of coverage of Augusta, of a Masters tournament, I could tell you instantly that that took place at Augusta National because it is so iconic. Every hole is so iconic. The foliage is different. It's not if you
okay.
Take,
if you give me okay, if you give me one photo, Open, if you give me one photo of the Boston Garden of the Celtics playing the Boston Garden, I can tell you that it's not at the Staples Center. But a game at the Garden and a game at the Staples Center are both just basketball games. They're not traditions unlike any other.
Well, it's funny you mention the Staples Center and the Boston Garden because again, the Boston Garden doesn't exist anymore. They don't play basketball there. So you're not so all of the traditions that went with the Boston Garden don't exist, nor either does the Inglewood Forum, where the great Lakers teams played. So the the number of historic places, if you had said Fenway Park, I might have said, hey, you have a
You want to talk about tradition and first of all, never mind. I don't even want to.
Go ahead, buddy.
They change Augusta every year. They tore down the tree that was the most interesting landmark there. They had the Eisenhower tree. They tear it down. They move the course around every year. The place is totally different.
Well, that doesn't mean that it's not.
Well, that's the thing you're clinging your argument onto is the special tradition of the place. Look, give me your closing argument. Let's get out of here.
I'm not talking about the actual.
You wanted to switch. It didn't work for you. Give me your closing argument.
Healy. Taking
away
okay, you could take a tree out of Augusta National. It's not going to change the history of the place.
Tradition.
You get a goddamn closing statement. Have some respect. You could take a tree out of the 17th fairway at Augusta National, and it's not going to change the fact that no institution has had more difficulties over the years with the issues of gender politics, with the issues of racial politics than Augusta National. Every year that we play at the Masters, a different story becomes a national news story that we are forced to deal with and confront and ask the most important questions facing our society, or some of the most important. That is what makes it unlike any other. The World Series comes and goes. The Greater Milwaukee Open, you know, great. Justin Leonard wins this year. No one's asking the question, hey, why aren't Filipinos allowed to be members at the course where the Greater Milwaukee Open is? Because A, they don't have that kind of history. B, the Greater Milwaukee Open is held at different courses every year, and see, it's not nearly the same magnitude of event as the Masters. That's what makes the Masters a tradition unlike any other.
The Masters is a golf tournament, like happens at every golf course in every country that has a golf course in the entire world. It's a little fancier. It's a little different. They put their own little spin on it, as I'm sure they do at Nahoyden Golf Club, or at the Brookline Country Club, or the Country Club, or whatever. Every place is a golf tournament. It's not a big deal. It's not that special. The Masters claiming that it's a tradition unlike any other is a marketing tool. The fact that there's some dark racial and gender history, hey, bad news. That's true about every single event in the entire world that has any kind of history. The World Series, the Super Bowl, there's all kinds of racial and gender issues and darkness that are associated with every ongoing sporting event. The Masters is not a tradition unlike any other. It's a friggin' golf tournament. Get over it.
Medina?
I am going to give Dave both of these.
Oh, I love it.
This is some horseshit, man. The fix is in now.
I don't agree with that.
The fix is in.
I don't even agree with
that. I don't know what you're doing. I think you're just trying to like, because I am hearing the listeners and they're telling me increasingly, they're like, I don't know what Medina's doing. About the OJ debate, people were like, don't listen to Medina.
You're taking shots at our moderator.
I didn't see that.
Threatening his status.
Who do you trust if not Medina? I mean, this guy's.
Well, I'm definitely giving Dave the second one, but here's the thing.
You're giving Dave the second one? Yeah. Are you kidding me? I took him to pieces.
I lost the first one and won the second.
I think I took you to pieces on both of them.
No, I mean,
you're a good debater. I like to play with you.
I don't think you took him to pieces on the second one.
Okay.
For sure.
Your closing statement was all platitudes, so nonspecific. I mean, you didn't.
The whole point was that the Masters is nonspecific. I'm trying to say it's just part of the whole general.
I think that my point is
you're a dumb person.
Dave made an interesting, kind of great case for why it was a tradition unlike any other. And I don't think you were able to take that apart very, very particularly.
What was his case? The darkness?
Yeah, man. And that's not seductive enough for you?
No, the character of it.
Everything is dark.
I was taken by it.
Thanks, bud.
In the first one, I don't know. It's just that the guy had arguments against you that were decent. The jug of milk, you know.
The jug of milk.
I loved the jug of milk. And listeners, Don't bullshit me. You love the fucking jug of milk too. Write me an email about that if you didn't like it.
Why didn't you go with the claret jug?
Because the claret jug is more similar to other trophies. Don't dismiss me.
I'm pissed. I think I got robbed and I'm pissed.
You won the you won the micro.
I win all the micros.
Is there a system of appeals that you can take this to? Do we have a higher
power? No, there's no appeal.
Yeah.
It's game over. I mean, money's changing hands.
I was talking with our friend Jim in Barcelona this week, and he said, you know, Medina, I don't always agree with you. So I know it make mistakes. Guys, I'm in the moment here. I can't rewind.
A lot of people, like, get it that the real great debates is the one that's going on in between the listeners' imaginations and Medina.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
We're just setting that up.
Yes.
We're just tools for that.
It's between me and the listeners.
Unlike a sporting event, it almost raises the question, who are the participants?
Mm.
Is it the players? Is it the players and the umpire? Is it the players and the umpire and the audience?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I got a lot of my great trivia about the Masters from an article by David Owen in March 1999 Vanity Fair.
Oh, cool.
And in that, he says that, Dave, that the green jacket is the most coveted adornment in golf.
Yeah, that's probably true.
What do you think is second place?
Oh, boy, I don't know that there is.
Second most coveted adornment in golf.
Well, is an adornment, I'm not sure of the definition of adornment. Does that include trophies or is that just stuff you wear?
Maybe anything
is
there a you metal can put on. Any, a medal, I think. Is there a medal? Or a crown or a hat?
I believe there are medals in the Ryder Cup, but I'm not positive. Mm. That might not even be true. David Owen, one of our nation's foremost golf writers, I would argue.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Writes extensively about it.
David Owen, if you're listening, tell us about what the other adornments in the game of golf are. Listeners, argue with me, but do it on Twitter. That's easier. I can see it, and I'm now getting used to Twitter, and that'll keep me on Twitter.
And live event.
May 22nd.
Dudes, come right see thing? Us. If you live in or around New York.
Anywhere on the Eastern Seaboard.
Really. Roll out.
Or London. Anywhere you can pop over.
Called
London?
The Acela Corridor.
Yeah.
You have no excuse not to be there.
If you're in London, you could make that happen.
I had a great time today.
Me too.
I don't care what anyone thinks.
Can guys, I say to our listeners, hit them straight. Use your best course management while you're out there. Remember what Tom Watson said, overestimate the wind. That goes for golf as well as in life. Mm-hmm. And just have fun while you're out there.
What's your number one? I think you're the best golfer at the table. What's your number one golf tip?
My best golf tip, if we're being real, is when you're putting, try to shorten your stroke as much as possible because it minimizes mistakes. And I think that the easiest way for people in the sort of like 10 to 25 handicap range, which is to say like real amateurs basically, or like weekend golfers, the best way to cut down on strokes is to minimize your putting errors. And I find that people like have way too long of a putting stroke, and it changes both the, what do you call it? Degree, like the sort of angle that it's headed to the hole at, but more importantly, it's much harder to manage the distance when you have a very long stroke. So I recommend trying to shorten your putting stroke by half and see if you can make it more accurate that way.
Now, that's a great tip.
When you play mini golf, I see people like almost, they don't take the club back. The club head's almost in contact with the ball and then they like shove it.
Well, that I don't like.
Is that cheating?
I don't think that's legal. You're not, you have to, you know, swing, take a sort of backswing before you address the ball, but I'm saying minimize your backswing. I mean, what's really going to get you in trouble is if you take a real loopy, big backswing and then try to control that as you go through. That's my best tip. I don't know.
I like the tip, hit before you're ready.
Interesting.
It works great for me.
It's cool.
If you don't take too much time thinking about it, you often just hit it straight.
It's a little advice. Sergio
hey, guys,
Garcia
out there, hit
use.
Before you're ready. Listen to the great debates. Tweet at us. Tweet at me. Get angry with me. I'm cool with it. I can take it. I promise. Don't forget about hashtag blood boil.
Blood boil.
Blood boil.
Don't forget about New York. And don't forget to have a great time and have an Arnold Palmer on a Sunday afternoon. What?
Sure. Yeah, it's great.
Why not?
See you next time.
Good times.